3, 2, 1.
Da.
Whoa. Let me open full screen, actually.
Okay.
Welcome to Tana Liza Talk. I'm Liza. And?
I'm Tana.
So, guys, today we're talking about shame. And the title for this episode is Intro to Shame, because we have to get a grip on this topic before we move on to further topics. So if you don't yet know where it shows up in your life, we'll tell you all about it.
Mm.
Today we are looking through these guiding questions, such as, what is shame? When and where does it crop up in our lives? How do you know it's shame and not other similar emotions? Where does it come from? What are its positives? How do we often deal with it? And what are the pitfalls of dealing with it the ways that we often do? And what do the professional researchers recommend we do about it?
Yes, this is just a little brief table of contents for all the topics we're going to cover, because initially the idea for this whole like podcast / creative endeavor, it sprouted from me and Liza talking about our relationship with bringing shame to our Cambodian families. And then naturally we want to unpack that. So we, like, the more we're talking, it's like we've been interested in this topic for a long time. I feel like amongst our friend group growing up, we always, like, we're trying to understand how our brain works better, and also, like, the people that we love, how their brains work, and how all of our brains work together. So I think it's helpful to understand the definitions of certain, like, would you say shame is an emotion? How would, like...
Like, I think it is an emotional experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, when was the last time that you remember feeling shame?
Me. When was the last time I remember feeling shame? If I'm gonna be real, like, I know that I am leading the life that I want to lead. However, whenever I'm around my family, for some reason, when they ask me about my work and what I do, and like they want to sort of understand it better in terms of why I do it, for some reason, I feel shame when I'm trying to explain how much I care about what I am trying to do as a creative to my Cambodian parents, who do not understand fully the concept of it. And because I know that it's not easy for them to understand this sort of career path I have chosen for myself, it's something I feel shame about when I talk with them about it, even though there's nothing to be shameful about, because I am not ashamed of the choices that I make for myself. Yet why do I feel so much shame when it comes to, you know, expressing it to family? How about you?
Damn, I mean, for me, like, I think very similar to yours, actually, because lately I've had to tell my mom about my new choices or whatever for career, and I think I felt a twinge of shame just because, like, I'm not sure if I'm disappointing her somehow. And yeah, like, I have the same thing where even if I feel all right with my choices, expressing, showing that side to her feels like I'm a bad person for not living up to her standards, because, you know, like, we get taught these things about how, you know, it's important to make our parents happy, to give them a good life, not let them worry. So failing that, or failing it in any capacity, makes us feel like we're bad daughters, bad children.
Literally. Ugh. Oh my gosh, wait, you know, the disappointment, I feel like, is one of the causes for feeling shame, right? It's like that fear of disappointing someone you care and love a lot.
Yeah, I think let's define shame, like, clearly for our listeners. So we wrote this on the doc. Brené Brown, who is the leading researcher in shame, she defines shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. Like, we've done something or fail to do something that makes us unworthy of connection. And, like, shame often leaves us feeling, like, frozen, like we can't do anything, or also feel ready to lash out at other people to not feel the pain of disconnection ourselves. So the quote to identify shame with is, whenever you sense, you have this sense, this inner dialogue that says, I am bad. And in Khmer, I'm actually not fully sure what the equivalent is in Khmer, but I've always heard, like, the phrase Khmakke.
Yeah. Know? Like, Tojang ak Khmakke.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I think that's literally it. Like, that's a shaming phrase.
Yes. It's definitely thrown around a lot.
Mm. But then I think Khmer Ian is then embarrassed, right? Like,
yeah.
So
that's more like a part, like, saying, I feel that way. But, like, Kmake is, like, how you would
be perceived.
Mm.
Yeah.
Literally, the word Kmake is, like, gay is referring to others, not the personal, like, not the self. So even in that word, embedded in the Khmer word, the word itself has nothing to do with you. And it has everything to do with how you will be perceived by others. Because that word has direct correlation to others. So I think that perfectly encapsulates what shame is. It's our relationship to how we will be perceived by others.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously mongers a lot of fear in us overthinking everything we do.
Yeah. It's this weird thing where, like, our shame points feels shameful to even bring up, you know, like the things that we kmake about.
It's even weird talking about it.
Yeah,
right? It's weird talking about shame.
I feel like maybe it's with some cultures, disappointment doesn't bring about shame, but in ours, we marry the two together. Like, we punish people who disappoint us, and we make them feel shamed, because I don't fully know how to get into this yet, but yeah, there is a link, right?
Mm. Right. But why do you think it's especially, why do you think the two, like, disappointment and shame, why they go hand in hand in our culture, in Khmer culture? Let's get into it.
Let's go for it. When we disappoint, especially our parents, like okay, so besides our parents, we can disappoint our teachers, or we can disappoint our friends, or, like, our partners, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, whatever, right? So, like, in all of these cases, I think besides friends, I feel like I have disappointed friends before, but, and yeah, like, I feel bad, I feel guilt if I've done something to wrong them, but, and, like, in those moments, I can feel shame, like, oh, maybe I'm bad for having been a bad friend or something. I need to rectify. So it's like guilt and shame in one. But it still doesn't feel nearly as soul crushing as disappointing your family, especially earlier on in life, right? And yeah. maybe that's because we know that our survival and feelings of safety is so tied up in family.
It's true. And this is also just like a psychological, where it's like, as the child, it needs to depend on the parent to survive. So mm-hmm. whatever the child must do in order to please the parent to stay mm-hmm. alive, we obviously carry that with us growing up. So mm-hmm. even as adults, we are all still acting like that child, even though like our body changes, our environment changes. If we don't confront sort of like learned behaviors associated with how we were brought up or certain like survival tactics we had to rely on to get to the point where we are today, like if there's no confrontation of that or understanding of that within ourselves, I feel like it's really difficult to understand how shame plays a role in every aspect of our life. And I just think it's important to talk about, because I don't know, I care a lot about my relationships, like all of them, like friendships, mentorships, I don't fucking know, like yeah. my relationship with my cat, like I don't fucking know, every relationship in the world shame mm-hmm. plays a role in. And I feel like yes, the word shame has a negative connotation, but I feel like trying to better understand how it plays a role in our specific individual lives can lead to a lot of positive things.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you said about how like shame permeates our every relationship, right? It's such a part of our social fabric. And dude, like I read this one book that was called like The Courage to Be Disliked, and there's like a part two sequel, The Courage to Be Happy. And it's like based in Zen Buddhism and Adlerian psychology, but basically like this this type of psychology or philosophy says that like every problem is a problem of interpersonal relationships. So every problem that you have in life is mm-hmm. just it's relationship true. Problems. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
And shame serves a role in society, or it tries to. And sometimes, you know, we can debate maybe in later episodes, like to what extent is shame helpful, whatever. But but it serves this role of like reducing friction in society so that we have like expectations and trust in how things will go in society, you know? And it's weird because like, some people who write about shame, they lump shame in with the other emotions like fear, embarrassment, like guilt, humiliation, and all those things, but those are different. But they say that this shame umbrella is helpful for social interactions and stuff. Like what I've read is that shame doesn't fix the core issues, it just silences. So like if you think about say like a kid is being loud in a restaurant and then their parents like slap them in public or some shit, or like tells them to like be quiet and basically shames them into stopping, like, oh my god, you're not a good kid if you do this, like no one will like you, kind of thing. They use all these tactics to get the kid to shut up, and it's like technically it can work in the short term, but in the long run it only adds problems, because now the kid just thinks, oh, the way that I am means that other people won't like me. It doesn't get to the core issue that like, oh, kids need to express, and like our environments don't allow them to fully express or whatever. This is one case essentially.
Yes. Yeah. Shame as silencing. Yes, that's so true, because like you said with like the kid in the restaurant example, I feel like shaming techniques to make someone learn a lesson from something whether it's a boss trying to teach their employee that or a parent trying to teach their kid that through using shame as a tool, is ultimately ineffective because, like you said, it's silencing instead of trying to identify the bigger picture. Like, maybe they are acting in this undesirable or like awful way because a different aspect of their life is being repressed. I don't know. What's a good way to explain this?
Yeah, I get you. This is actually a thing I've noticed lately, like reflecting on my experiences growing up, is like when I'm acting a way that my family members don't like my mom, for example, like I'm being loud or I'm saying certain things, then I, like, if when she shames me for that, that's because she feels shame herself. Or does that make sense? Like, if she had said those things, or maybe she did when she was growing up, she was shamed for that. And so she learned to associate whatever it was with not good.
Yes.
Not allowed in this environment. And so when she hears me saying those things or doing some things, to her, that's like she's worried about her own safety, but she's probably also worried about my safety, right? And that's when she'll like unload the shaming onto me, because shaming is a powerful story, and it sticks with us, you know.
For sure.
Sometimes we feel shame for even having shame.
Yeah, it's like, oh, why am I shameful of this thing? I can't reveal that, because then that person is gonna think that I think this and that. And it's like, okay, number one, you probably need better friends. Number two, if you feel that way, I feel like admitting shame is almost like the same thing as having the ability to admit when you're wrong or admit where you fall short. So I feel like if you're avoiding just talking about being embarrassed, being shameful of things with, like, obviously you don't need to go talking about it with everybody in your life, but if you're talking to nobody about it, that's a different story. You need at least one person or one sort of outlet to be able to share these things with, because if you don't have a way to externalize it, it just stays with you in your body forever, and it's gonna breed out in ways that are not very pretty. Just makes you an angry person.
I think the people who don't have anyone to talk to about those things may also fall into the trap of not acknowledging these parts of themselves, like not even acknowledging the shame to themselves. And I used to be one of them, so it's okay. It's a very human thing, and some people fall into the trap.
I used to be the same. Yeah.
To feel shame is human. So
yes.
It's okay. What do you think are the common shame points that you've observed growing up with yourself and other people, you know, for our culture?
I think mainly my experience with it has been the adults around me growing up. Like, if you act in XYZ way, you will bring shame to us. They will ask, oh, who raised this kid? Who, like, what kind of people are they? Who, like, I mean, obviously that's like not even a Cambo thing. I think that's a universal thing for parents to say things like that. But I feel like it was to the extreme, where it was even like, if I had my own opinions, if I wanted to pursue something that is non-conventional, if I wanted to express myself through fashion or any way that was not blending in with what everyone else has got going on, basically the want to have some sort of self-expression, that was considered shameful for me, because I was being told that by the adults around me, that those things were not acceptable because they would bring shame to the family. And as a kid who doesn't know shit about how the world works. You believe those things. And because you're not allowed to do those things, and you're still a kid, so obviously you need to listen to the adults around you, right? You just get really angry because you have all this self-expression that you can't express because of those things, yeah. Which makes you all the negative emotions, depressed, angry, like suicidal, shit, you know what I mean? It's not pretty. It's not pretty.
That reminds me of, like, wait, what's it? We both like this guy, Gabor Mate.
Yes, Dr. Gabor Mate.
Dr. Gabor Mate. He's so, wow. I remember this one thing he said about authenticity and connection. That, unfortunately, sometimes we, as children, learned the lesson that to be able to bond with our caretakers or other people in our environment, we had to sacrifice our authenticity.
Yes.
And that sounds exactly like what you were saying, you know?
And this is why I love Dr. Gabor Mate. He's one of the researchers. He has many titles. I can't remember all of them. But he's a trustworthy source who has written multiple books on this very thing we're talking about. And it's something that we want to explore more in our podcast with future episodes. It's just tough to condense it all into just like one conversation because there's just so much to talk about within the topics that Gabor Mate researches. And I feel like, you know, as Cambodian women, it's interesting to apply it to how we were raised and naturally that environment leading to society as a whole. So as you can see, there's many conversations to be had about this, and we're really excited to do our other episodes. And hopefully if you have listened this far, you will stay tuned, listen to those other conversations that we want to unpack even more. Shame is just the starting point.
Shame is just the start.
Live, laugh, love.
I mean, live, laugh, love is a succinct meme. It's so bite-sized, and some people hate the vibes, but I think, you know, like, truly, if you can live, laugh, love, you're good, fam.
No, honestly.
But yeah.
You know what? You're right.